vulnerable enough to just go, darn, wish I'd done that differently.
I love it.
I like it. And even if it was one of those moments where you feel like you did everything the right way.
That's a taste of Figure Outable. This week's episode of The Wise Guys, a podcast that unleashes the unthinkable in culture, religion, business, and everyday life. So it's time to step over the line, strap in, and let's see if you are willing to let Mac and the team take you to a place of thinking differently.
All right, welcome to Going Rogue, the podcast where we unleash the unthinkable to help us see things differently and usher in a new renaissance, maybe centered around creativity, spiritual depth, and a shift from the me to we. Hi, I'm Mac, your host, and I'm walking on the inside edge again in an episode with my buds, man. Hey, Stu.
Hey, Mac. There how are you tonight? Rev is in the house. We have a lot of energy right now.
What's going on, Rev?
And we are feeling high tonight, man.
I think I'm floating.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's the topic for this episode about figure outable.
What? When I saw this, but before I ask my question,
okay,
I gotta say hello to all the people out there. Hello, beautiful, exotic cocktails, you guys. We're gonna figure outable you today. Yeah. I think I don't know. That's my question. What is this word you made up with? What is it? What does it mean? Or did you not make it up?
Well, I thought I made it up. But then somebody reminded me that there was a book written in 2019 where this woman, that was the title of the book, and she took it from her mother that kind of would always tell her, you know, everything, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's figure outable.
Right? Since the beginning of time, we've been trying to figure things out. I don't know if we've gotten the answers, but we keep trying.
I like
it. We keep trying. So we're going to take a stab at it tonight. And really, the big part of the theme is this. I think all of us, and I'm putting myself in this. I'll let the two guys, my two buds here, film themselves in however they want to look at it for their life. But I think, doggone it, gang, we need to figure out how to make better decisions. You know, just bottom line. All right.
Oh yeah.
We just need to do that better.
I just want to do life better than I did it yesterday. Yeah. Maybe better than I did it 5 minutes ago. That's evolution.
You know, just in its simplest form.
I think I always ask myself this. Yeah. And I used to think it wasn't healthy, but I think it is now. It's like, okay, I did this. I made this decision. Like, could I have done that better? I mean, why not ask that? You know?
Well, exactly.
I mean, I'm not saying anything negative about what I did and what my decision was. I made a decision. It was, you know, it was probably a good decision. Sometimes not.
but there's the point.
But my question is like, okay, could I have done it better?
Right.
And sometimes I can't think of anything. Not that there isn't. Sometimes I'm like, wow.
That's when you've got to go unthinkable. Yeah. You can't think of anything because it's an unthinkable idea that it can be done better. But it doesn't mean bashing what you did. Hey, I saw that it was good, and I'll do it even better tomorrow.
Well, there's plenty of times I'm looking for the DeLorean to go back and like, let me redo that one.
Go back in time.
You know, even if you ask the question, how could I do it better? Mm-hmm. Even if you go to that place, which I think is an unthinkable thought for a lot of people, okay? Then you have to say, well, what have I done to cultivate the discernment and the filter and all this, the processing mechanism to really be able to answer that question?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And come out the other end either with, it was pretty good just like it was. I think it was good. Or with an answer to that, how could I do it better, that is wise, that makes sense, that can help you next time around.
I know too many people that are just absolutely stuck in, well, that's good enough.
Yeah.
Good enough. And I think the world's become pretty stagnant because it's just good enough. And we've quit progressing as individuals and as human beings and as a collective. I think we can do life better. We always can do life better. It doesn't mean we're bashing ourselves.
No.
But I tell you, I think differently than I did when I was 4 years old.
Right.
And I think differently than I did when I was 40 or when I was in high school. I'm a different person because I wanted to do life better.
Well, this is the schooling thing that Stu talks about.
Oh, yeah.
All the time, right?
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, Rev, as a coach, like that complacency or that, like, that for them to say, yeah, you know, I'm okay with what I did. I'm like, but it, like you could do better. Like, let's do better. Like, why not, you know,
a little aspiration.
That's the high. I have had high after high in my life when, man, I thought it was as good as I could do, and I did better. Wow. And it's like, wow, there's more of me to express. I can, I'm a better athlete. I'm a better musician. I'm a better singer. I'm a better minister. I'm a better human being on the planet because I asked that question.
Well, and so here's the next question you say after that. You go, and the therefore means that you make the world better, that you make other people's lives better.
Raise the bar for everybody.
That's right.
The water is rising in the harbor for all the boats.
Everything elevates. You know, and who out there? Let me ask you something, gang. How many of you out there don't think that we need to do a better job culturally, socially,
right? Spiritually.
I mean, spiritual. I mean, all the way across the board here.
I thought you were going to stop after you said don't think. How many of you out there
don't think? I should, I might have stopped right there. But here's the thing. Take to heart the whole Einstein thing, right? If we keep doing the same old thing and expecting a different result,
right?
That's insanity, right? Now, the key to this conversation so far has been, but do you even expect a different result? And do you even want a different result? Maybe that, you know.
I'm happy with the results of my life.
There
okay,
it is.
Okay, great. But, you know, better, I'd like more of the same.
There it is.
Okay, good is good. But I can have more of the same, and I can share that wealth with everybody else in the world.
Well, yeah. I mean, don't you think that it is wise to think about how you can begin to minimize the bad decisions maybe in your life? Not eliminate them. We're human. We're going to just still screw it up, okay? But maybe if you go through life, you can start to say, man, you know, those don't happen as frequently. And when they do, can you develop sort of a course correction process that raises your level of consciousness and depth of wisdom? I mean, they both kind of go together. So this podcast, which this episode, we, you know, we want to talk about some of that stuff. We want to maybe give you some nuggets that you can say, wow, you know what? I can process things differently a little bit before the fact and after the fact.
And it starts with just owning, I made a mistake, and being okay with it. I screwed up. I didn't do it so well. I can do it better.
Right.
That's okay. Humble yourself enough. Be vulnerable enough to just go, darn, wish I'd done that differently.
I love it.
I like it. And even if it was one of those moments where you feel like you did everything the right way, still asking the question.
Yep.
Could I do it better? Like, how can I do it better? I mean, why not?
Well, and you know, can teach other people to do it better by just by the virtue of that.
Right? I'll tell you what, I had a glorious moment coaching with one of my wrestlers. And he wrestled what I would call like a perfect match for a young person, right? And he came off the mat and he comes up to me and says, "Hey, coach." I'm like, "Congratulations, you wrestled great." He says, "What could I have done better?" And it was like the clouds opened, the light came shining down. I was like, "Oh my gosh, this kid, how do I replicate you?" First of all, let me tell you how awesome you are and how good you did. But now let's talk, you know? I mean, because he opened up the door for it. And this is a young person saying this.
He got in touch with the potential of who he could be on the planet. And he wasn't going to get comfortable and stagnant. He wanted more of that feeling he had that time at that perfect match. And it was the perfect match for him on the mat at that moment.
Yeah.
But it won't be the perfect match tomorrow.
Right.
Because he's just striving and stretching himself to be more.
Right.
Wow. People need to care more about this, about what we're saying right now. Some people just don't care.
Right.
They don't care to do it any better. Like, I'm just going to get skate by. This is kind of happening in our, especially in the United States. I hate to point that out, well, but it is. It's
we've gotten comfortable with the imperfect version of ourselves.
Just skating by, getting by with just enough.
We're happy. We're content with mediocre. All right, and that's kind of the kiss of death, gang. I'm just saying, you know. And if you want, and even if you don't want, we're telling you, you should want. Damn it. Yeah. Want it to be better because it makes everything better.
And you'll inspire others to do the same thing.
Yeah. And life is in motion. Life is constantly in motion, and there's no such thing as stagnation. You're right. Either stretching and growing and becoming, or you're dying.
Yeah, it's they
could get to a plateau and say, good enough. No, that's going, that's putting a foot in the grave.
Right.
I've quit growing, I've quit becoming, and life is going to move one direction or the other. I want to choose to move to a higher, greater version of life, of love, of God.
Yeah. So a higher, greater version. Let's talk about some things that can help move that needle.
Let's do it.
You know, and how about something like this? How often have you heard the word discernment? When's the last time you heard that word? Interesting word, right?
We hear judgment.
Yeah. Discerning. Mm-hmm. Are you very discerning when it comes to what you read, what you see, what you hear? The encounters that you have with people, and if you say, yes, I am, or no, I'm not, what is that filter that allows you to be discerning? Where does it come from? How does it happen?
Well, to me, it's the eyes and the ears and the heart of something greater. They call it God in my world.
Mm.
But it's not my human eyes. It's not my personality. It's the absolute nature of the spirit that's seeing beneath the eyes, beneath the ears, beyond the experience. That's where discernment comes in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I'm with the Rev on that.
Yeah, well, and really what we're saying here with this is it's more than, not except, but more than, say, the Ben Franklin T thing on the page that says pluses and minuses. Nothing wrong with doing that. You look at the list, you make the lists, oh, these are the positives in this, these are the downsides in this, and that's all fantastic. But now guess what you need in order to process that information? You need discernment.
Right.
Okay? You need to be discerning to be able to know, well, that's no big deal. I'm okay with that. Don't worry about that. I mean, you have to be able to process the information in a way that results in some sort of a better, I'm going to call it a wiser decision that you would have made just by trying to go by the facts, man. Just give me the facts.
So is discernment the job of the mind, or is it the job of the heart, or is it both in partnership?
Both. Ooh, that's a good question.
I've got to have the feeling and the thinking nature in partnership to really discern. Otherwise, from the head alone, it's just judgment.
Right.
And from the heart alone, maybe it's just completely unconscious.
Mm.
But when they come together, it's a powerful tool for growth.
Wow.
Absolutely. Yes.
I discerned that was a correct answer.
Wow. He's got the cheat sheet right here, though, folks. Come on. Okay. You know,
I didn't read it. Sorry.
That was good.
Well, I love it because what we've said is the mind matters too.
Yes, also.
You've got to apply your thinking, your rationale, everything else, and then you couple it with the unseen.
So, maybe I'm heading here. Let's see. So where does intuition fall into this?
Oh, there we go.
Right? Is it – I kind of feel like it's between the two.
You know, there's this great poet. I can't think of his name right now, but he writes this poem about the head and the heart arguing over and over and over, argue. And then suddenly the gut comes into the equation and says, why don't you guys just basically shut up and listen to me? Could it be that the gut is the overarching energy of just knowing and feeling and sensing something greater than even the heart or the head together can find?
Wow, I like that.
Intuition. Well, what do you call everybody at the beginning of all of our episodes?
Yeah, beautiful exotic cocktails. Yeah.
See, this is the mix. This is how beautiful we are. That some of it's figure outable, and a lot of it's not. And we have to be okay with that, right? Because if you try to figure it out, you've lost it. You know, that's where you trip up right there. But intuition, great word. Now, as we're trying to do it better, we have an intuitive nature. That's all of the above so far, I think, right? Mm-hmm. Everything we've already talked about.
And everybody has this. I mean, you think of intuition as a feminine trait, because it is. But men have this. Men have intuition. We just choose to ignore it or stiff arm it,
right.
You know, because it's just not convenient. I know that's how it worked for me a lot. But, you know, when I kind of put together that, like, intuition for me is really like the Holy Spirit talking to me. It's like God talking to me.
Right.
Yep. Then I was like, okay, I should pay attention to this because this is good information that from a being that wants the best for me in my life. That. Like, why would I not listen to that?
God's for us. We already talked about that in one of our previous episodes, right? God is for us, man. But I love how you brought in the feminine, right? And sometimes we do default to our feminine counterparts, if that's the relationship that we happen to have, and we'll say, oh well, you know, I'll trust her intuition, you know, and again, believe me, there's nothing wrong with that. I've been there many times, but as Stu said, we have intuition, guys. We have it as well, and we need to bring it to bear because, again, everybody has their feminine part of them, right? You know, there is no exclusivity in the way God created everybody.
You know, the etymology of the word problem, it just means to ask a better question. It's to ask a question. It's not to solve something. And the mind will tell you, I got to beat my head against the wall to try and solve this riddle in front of me. And really what it's just saying is ask a better question, which is a divine feminine quality. Ask a question to understand more as a trying to force myself into the equation to solve it. Damn it. Mm-hmm. No, just be present with the questions that life is asking of you.
Well, we're getting down the list, but that's a really good one right there. We are asking the right questions. Okay, just start with, that's a huge one right there. We want to have the answers, but we're not asking even the right questions.
It's a softer approach to life.
I love that. You know, and so we're also talking about making better decisions. We're already there with spiritual depth. We've already hit all over this, that for us and this podcast, this, you know, the wisdom that we want to convey, the different thinking, the unthinkable, is that if you try to do this without the spiritual depth in the equation, we believe that it's going to fall much far short of what it could be. You know, we're not going to diss you or anything like that. It's just we think it can be better if it moves beyond the humanism in it.
So when I thought about this, when I looked at that phrase, spiritual depth, right? To me, this is personal. It's like a personal journey. Like it transcends like any religious affiliation that I might have, right?
Sure.
And it's just kind of a connection with, you know, with the self, with me, with the higher power, with the universe, you know. That's really where the spiritual depth comes in for me. It's like seeking higher meaning and purpose in my life.
Right.
You know, is kind of how I envision it.
Can it be a collective thing too? As you were talking, Mac, I was thinking about, I performed your wedding.
You did.
And one of the things I said in that wedding is, as good as it's been up to this point, it's about to get significantly better.
We danced at that.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's true. I would love to know if it did get better because as you are sharing that desire for a spiritual depth with another person, a partner, you go to places you could not go individually.
Absolutely.
That shared commitment and vision and possibility is such a beautiful thing, and that marriage can be better and better and better every day because both of you are working at it.
Oh, well, that gets to kind of our next idea that we've got here is the right tribe.
Oh, yeah.
Just in making sure that you're surrounding yourself with the right tribe. And of course, a spouse, a partner, or whatever is like, major, because again, who are you sharing most of your thoughts with and living your life with?
But we become like the people we hang out with.
Absolutely.
So take a look at who you're hanging around with. Do you like what you see? If not, make a shift, make a change, and do it better tomorrow.
So I wrote down a bunch of questions about this because some people might be like, I call this my tribe of five, and I don't remember where I got that from.
I know we've talked about it.
I have no idea. I don't even care where it came from anymore.
I coined that years ago in the old podcast.
But I know, like, if for me, fortunately, I absolutely have five, but there's more that, you know, in my tribe. But I call it the tribe of five, and this is what I tell people. So if you don't know who that is for you, right? Like, here's some questions to ask, right? So I wrote these down because I thought these were really cool. Okay, this is easy. Who's in your corner? Always. Right? Who pushes you to want more and to be your best? This is somebody in your tribe of five. Who cheers you on and genuinely celebrates your victories? Think about, you know, the whole jealousy component of even when you have somebody that's a good friend and they have, you know, a big victory in their life. You're like, oh man, sometimes you go to being that humanistic and like, oh man, I wish I had that. Or
right.
But if you can be someone who cheers that person on, right? That's
absolutely
your tribe of five, right? Is there someone you can say anything to without fear or being judged?
You know, these are good questions.
Wow.
Mac, you're looking at him right now. Rev, you're looking at him, right?
Yeah.
Where do you go for advice?
Absolutely.
Or to vent your frustrations or for a kick in the ass and some cold hard truth? I go to Mac for that. These are questions that when you answer these, like, and as I'm saying, asking those questions, I hope, and I can almost visualize that people are visualizing people in their minds. Like they're thinking,
hopefully,
oh wow. When I ask that question, like who's always in your corner? Oh, that's Joe or that's Susie. Mm-hmm. You just know. You just hadn't thought of it.
Boy,
like
do
this.
I have to limit it to five, though?
No.
I'm going through 10, 15, 20 people. Right. I'm so blessed. I have those people.
For sure.
You know, one of the questions, your last one, I wanted to add to it. Who can I trust in my life to tell me the truth?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, the truth of my magnificence and the truth of where I could have done it better.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right. Those people are priceless jewels to me.
Right.
The tribe. Yeah, the tribe of five. Yeah, I remember we talked about that for years.
I'm going to steal it. And they show up in a sermon.
Who all right. That's all good, man. So,
make sure you say this came from Coach Stu.
Coach Stu says.
So with that, gosh, the right tribe, gang, the right tribe. Think about your tribe. And we're going to be back in a moment. We're going to take a little bit of a break. We'll see you soon.
Like what you hear so far? Join us in the Rogue Nation by going to our website, www.gorogue.life, where you will find links to our social media and podcast channels, posts on the Seeing Differently blog, and a way to subscribe to all our happenings. We encourage you to become a member of our cafe, where you can interact with us and fellow Roguers and keep the conversation going. Please share us and like us. And now, let's get back to our wise guys.
Okay, we're back. Welcome back to Going Rogue, where we're talking about figureoutable. You know, we're defining how we can do a better job at figuring stuff out and making better decisions, so which we all, I'm sure, can use. So moving on sort of to another thought, and a lot of times, this is a tough one for a lot of folks. When you're making decisions, understand that there very often needs to be what we call liminal space. And if you've never heard of that term, liminal space means the threshold space. It's that space as you go from room A to room B and you cross the threshold and you just hang there for a moment. You're not in A, you haven't gone to B yet, whatever that looks like, and you're resting in that space that takes time to do all the stuff we've already been talking about. To do the discernment, to do the pondering, to talk to the people that you need to look into yourself spiritually. I mean, all of these things we've already talked about, do we pause enough and appreciate that middle space?
That's the mystery. That's the place so many people are afraid of. It's why I'm good with room A because I know what room A has, even though it feels stagnant and limited. I don't know what's in room B.
Right.
So I don't want to go through that threshold because it scares me.
Yes.
Here's what I was thinking when I read this is, do I actually know when I'm in liminal space?
Mm.
Right? Like, do you know that you're there? Like that in between... Right. I was here, now I'm heading over here, but do I know I'm in that
birthing canal?
In the middle?
Yeah, right. Do I know I'm being birthed right now?
Right.
You know, I think you do once you learn to know what to look for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it can be a totally missed thing and you get antsy. I need a decision. I need to make, no, this isn't a good place to be because I need to make a decision. I can't be indecisive.
Some call that divine discontent.
Yeah, there it is.
Something's stirring in me. I don't know. Doesn't feel right, and I'm in the, right. I'm in that place. I think you can be conscious and unconscious in that place. Uh-huh. Life's going to push you and force you to change. Right. And I've a lot of my changes have been very unconscious. I didn't know I was being birthed into me until it was like, whoa, 2x4 upside the head. And I learned to. It's a lot more comfortable if I pay attention to what life is showing me. The relationships are showing me. They go, I think I'm in the birthing canal. I'm at the threshold. Let's cooperate with this flow and this evolution.
Well, going to Stu's comment about the tribe, right? Mm-hmm. So often your tribe can very much help you in that.
Yeah,
hang on a minute, Sparky. You're getting a little bit ahead of yourself here. Okay, let's talk about this a little bit more. What do you really think? I mean, there's the...
Well, you're typically headed in the same direction with your tribe, you know, your tribe of five. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they may already be there. They may see, like... You know, I imagine you're on the trail, right? And they're up in front and they're like, come on, come on over here.
Right, right.
Keep walking.
Come to the light.
Well, and that, you know, that happened with us, Stu, you know, as I went through my transition and some stuff, you know, and, you know, I was kind of out there doing certain things when it came to my faith and some other kinds of things, you know, and I didn't expect. And here's a really important point, gang. Whether you're on the forward end of the equation or you're on the lagging end of the equation, the one thing that you can't do is expect the other person to think like you think and to be where you are and to do what you do because you think it's better and you care about them. It's not that you're trying to or anything like that, but you gotta let them have their own journey and give them wisdom, give them counsel. Give them a hand up if they need it. Give them a hug. But, man, the minute you start to, you know, expect, well, why the hell aren't you where I am now? It's better, you know?
And I think it's important to go through this liminal space. I think of the, you know, in nature, you think about, you know, the caterpillar to the butterfly. I mean, you can't just open up the cocoon and take out a butterfly. Like it has to go through a whole process of pushing out, pushing all the juices out. It's like reforming. There's a lot of things that happen.
Right.
You know? So you have to go through that. And without going through that, you're not who you are supposed to be or could be.
If you want to kill a baby bird or a baby chick, help it break out of its egg.
Right.
That will kill it. It doesn't have the strength and the determination it needs. So we think we're helping somebody, and we're limiting them.
Right.
They're not going to make it to room two because they didn't develop the strength needed to live in room two. The threshold is a necessary. Can it be a struggle? Can the threshold be a struggle as I'm figuring it out? Yes, it must be a struggle because I'm developing muscles. Mental muscles, spiritual muscles, emotional muscles, and maybe even physical muscles.
Yeah, yeah. All the above, yeah.
That's good.
I mean, it's a process, and you just have to be patient.
So this comes into – so the thought that enters my mind now is staying present. Like, and you hear people talk about seasons of life that you're in, and sometimes you're like, oh, I can't wait to get out of this season to the next. Like, if you just stay present where you are and just try to soak it in, you may not understand it all, but once you get past the threshold to the next area, then it all will make sense.
Right.
And it'll be amazing because you stayed present so that you could remember everything once you cross the threshold, right? Instead of trying to sprint and get there.
That's what scares so many people because you get in, you go past the threshold and you realize, oh my God, there's another threshold. There's another door.
Right.
There's another iteration I got to figure out.
I just got through this one. Come on, Rev.
Let me rest for just a little
another
bit.
Another one? I see a light down there.
In room B. I just want
to
stay.
I love to go hiking and I'd say there's nothing like getting over that hill. You get to the top of it and you realize I got four more to go.
Yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
I've had that feeling, I'll tell you.
Well, this is such great stuff, man. I'm loving it. We could camp on some of these just for a whole episode, you know. But I also think that another thing that we can make better decisions as we develop our discernment and our intuition and our spiritual depth, all the things we've been talking about, we got to get away from the herd. We got to get away from that common thinking that we all so often fall into. It's way easier to think like everybody else.
Right? Yeah, it's for a lot of people, it's just easier to do that. There's a fear of, oh, what are they going to say? Are they going to, You know, are they going to kick me out of the tribe?
Right. Well, that's right. Sure.
You know, I mean, yeah. So there's a lot of fear around that, but you're really ignoring, you're neglecting your own individual feelings in the process if you do right. that.
Well, you're not adding right? your individuality to the equation then either.
If you don't shed that mentality, right?
Yeah, right. You know, if everybody's thinking the same thing, Mutt, then nobody's thinking.
Well, and you're depriving right? the world yeah. of the unique way that God chose to create you to express on earth.
That's
oh,
right.
Oh, no, I'm just going to be like everybody mm-hmm. else. You're cheating the world. The water's not rising totally. In your world and in your harbor, and it's not for anybody else either.
No, I totally agree. So, again, start. There's a process. Just mm-hmm. just little things. I don't know what your life is like. But what I do know is you can look at it objectively and you can begin to make some of those changes that maybe you've always wanted to make, never had the courage to make, and you don't need to bite off the big one. Start with the small ones, maybe.
One small step. How do you eat an elephant? One bite yeah, at a time. Rogers we're challenging Rogers yeah. to take one small step to a greater version of you today.
There it is.
Don't wait till tomorrow. Do it right now.
Just there it is. There's the gauntlet. Boom. You just threw it down. Wake up out there, Mooks. Come on, get with it.
I tell you, I'm the okay. person I am today, the man I am today because of my five, my tribe. Yeah. What was it, five?
Tribe of five.
Tribe of five yeah. that challenged me. Yeah. And did not accept my limited view of myself.
Right.
Said, there's more of you to bring to the planet. There's more of you to shine. Shine, brother, and stop playing small. I'm grateful for those people that the coaches, mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. teachers, right. the mentors, the partners that said, there's more of you that the world needs.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, you know, we got to get away from the herd. And with that herd comes biases. We have the commonality biases that our herd has, that maybe we've always grown up with, that's always been our worldview. And it doesn't necessarily make it wrong. It doesn't, we're not trying to say that everything is bad. But very often, those things that are just part of us, the way we filter it, our rose-colored glasses, whatever it might be, it's time. It's time to start looking at it differently and thinking differently about some stuff. Maybe not everything, but some stuff.
I inherited a lot of good from my family and the family consciousness.
Yeah.
And I just want to do it better. I want to take the good that my father gave me and do it better. In his legacy, in his memory, I also got a lot of stuff that wasn't so good.
Right.
You know what? I'm going to move away from that herd mentality and do life better for the bad things, the good and bad. It doesn't matter. It's just increasing the good of my family system.
Right.
That which I inherited, I'm just going to be a greater version of that family system.
A greater version. I like that. I like that phrase. Good stuff, Rev. I'm going to be a greater version. And you say this all the time. I love this. With this thinking differently is just a phrase that says, you know, you got to change your stinking thinking. You know, we all have stinking thinking, you know, and come to realize it. Come to just understand that we're our worst enemy a lot of the time, right? Who's confronted the enemy and he it is us, right?
Yeah.
You know, our thinking process, as we're talking about this elevated way of making better decisions, a lot of it has to do with how do we think? How do we think about things?
Right? Every character in the Bible, if you read the Bible, every character is going through a transformation
yeah.
of figuring it out and doing it better. Let's just take St. Paul. Saul became Paul. He went blind for 3 days, going through the threshold of who he could be and went, wow, this is what I was thinking 3 days ago. I'm not that person anymore.
His liminal space was pretty easy to
yeah,
to
I don't know. Yeah, it's right there.
He's like, wait, I can't see anything right now.
Yeah. Okay. He's bumping into walls and doors and hinges.
Yeah, he was looking for the liminal space and couldn't find it. Yeah.
That's so good, though. And there's so many examples like that in the Bible. I'm
true.
Sure you can quote a ton of them.
Oh,
there's,
yeah. yeah.
There's so many of those.
Well, and again, the whole idea about your mind and about thinking and about changing. Because who was one of the greatest change agents in history on the planet? Jesus, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, not that others as well, but I'm just saying that Jesus came and the biggest thing he said was, you got to change your thinking. Okay? I mean, it's time. it's time to stop gritting everything like you've been. And the biggest thing that you're gritting wrong, this is the Max interpretation now of it, is you're looking at God, the Supreme, the Father. You're looking at him all wrong. You don't understand, and I'm coming here to help.
You know what I love about that guy, though, is that he demonstrated the human quality of trying to figure it out. Yeah. He's on his knees in the garden. In the Garden of Gethsemane going, man, I am scared. Yep. I am scared. The new version of me. And it's going to feel like a crucifixion. It's going to feel like betrayals and denials. As you leave the herd, that's what people are going to say. Oh, you're the denier. You know, the reality, Jesus was figuring it out, and he found that deeper awareness of who he was. That's what caused the resurrection.
Yeah.
It was a resurrection of truth. He became more of the Christ in his own journey and his own struggle. I want to follow that example.
Well, again, is the key. Yes, look at my elevated understanding of what's going on and follow me.
He said, follow me over and over and over. And he could have quit at any point. They kept telling him, don't go to Jerusalem. You know what's going to happen there. Don't go there. Don't go there. And he says, no, my transformation is there.
Right.
The transformation is not just me, but the entire planet is in Jerusalem. So I'm going to go face the darkness, face the threshold, and become more.
Yeah. And how many, if you claim to be a Christian, all right, how many of us adopt that mentality that's the way we need to look at the world and God and each other and what we're contributing, and at the same time are willing to, quote, pay the price of everything and actually die and be resurrected. I mean, that it gets back to this whole malaise thing we've been talking about and good enough and all the other deal. But
I'm
going
to have to sacrifice something to go through that threshold. I don't want to sacrifice.
Right.
So fear is leading my life, not love.
Yes.
Not love of who I can be. It's the fear of the pain that might cause me that I'm going to have to give something up.
Yep. There you go. Well, you know, along with the stinking thinking is you were created, all of you, all of us. We were created with a mind, with an intelligence. Right? And so often we've been asked in the past, religiously in many regards, to check that at the door. And what we were asked to do was to replace it with belief, with faith, with trust. And we thought that we needed to take that, well, wait a minute, that sounds absurd to me. I don't think I can, I don't get that. That doesn't line up. And we were asked to just put that aside. No, you can't go there. Okay, just trust, just have the faith, right? When they're not mutually exclusive. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty, okay?
I had this experience growing up. I was asking a lot of questions using my intelligence, but I was constantly in trouble for asking the questions because just have faith, or that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And so when I became an adult and found people that shared with me that, you know, Christianity is an informed faith. There's information. You're not just blindly walking in the dark.
No,
you know.
No, I mean, you know, my faith in Jesus and all the great masters who have walked the face of the planet is not blind. Blind faith doesn't work for me. It's experienced.
Right.
I have experienced the rewards of faith, and I've seen the evidence. So I've walked through threshold over threshold over threshold to realize my faith is always going to be rewarded. So it's based on facts and experience, not blindness.
No.
Not. So the way I see that is I get to use my intelligence.
Absolutely.
My God-given divine intelligence that lives in me. Why would I not use it? Hello?
Your mind, your heart, but get the gut involved.
You're intuiting
something.
I'm all three
in partnership.
Tap the mic, yeah. Mic drop.
With the coach.
I mean, wake up out there, gang. Use your brain. God gave it to you, right? It's not, they're not throwing it out.
But that's the herd. They say, don't challenge. Don't be a rogue. You just be quiet and sit in your corner and just go along with the herd. And I'm sorry, that doesn't work. It's killed religion as we know it today. It's killed humanity as we know it today.
Well, yes. We talked about limiting the is, several mm-hmm. episodes ago. The minute we do that, mm-hmm. we limit the is, because now it doesn't flow through us. We just, okay.
I want every interaction, every relationship I have to be a moment to figure out more God. How can we find more God as love and compassion between us, the three of us, with your Fab Five, with the Terrible Ten, whoever they are, bring it on.
Yeah. Wait, there was a meme there. Hold on. What was that figure? What did you just say, Rev?
I was channeling.
I'm going to have to go back to the recording. There was a meme in there. Okay. I loved it. Very cool. So you don't have to check your intelligence at the door. You got to get away from the herd mentality. But here's a fact. I'm going to call it a truth. Okay.
Drop the hammer.
I'm driving the stake in the ground on this one, gang. You're going to have to be willing to disappoint people and definitely piss some of them off.
Yep.
It's going to happen. It's inevitable. And so now you have to navigate the relational side of all of this as well, because people are people, and they're not going to necessarily react well. They're just not.
Because you're going to bump up against their fear. You're becoming somebody different I don't know, and I don't know who you are. The unknown and the mystery is scary to me, so I'm going to be operating from fear. No, come back to the box.
Yeah.
Come back to the way you used to be. Don't grow because they're scared.
Right.
But if you can face the uncomfortableness of their uncomfortableness and just be okay with it, you become the conduit and the channel through which their growth can and will probably happen.
Mm-hmm. Very well said. Yeah. Yeah.
But we did a meme, right? We did a meme on that.
Yes.
Right? That even for ourselves, when we hear the truth, it's probably going to piss us off before it changes.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay? So get ready. Get ready.
And here's one thing I want to point out about this, because Mac's talking about being willing to disappoint people and probably piss some people off, right? This isn't, to me, vindictive or intentional.
No, oh, not right. at all. No, I agree. Yeah.
You're just being you. The you that God wants you to be and has made you to be.
Yeah.
And that might piss some people off because of what the Rev just said. It might disappoint some people because of fear. They can't go there. They put themselves in your shoes, and they're like, oh, I can't do that. And then all of a sudden, you're pissing them off or they're in some kind of fear.
I think that's a great point. It's not that you're trying to be vindictive and you're trying to make them mad and you're pointedly trying to, get people uncomfortable, but it's just going to be a natural reflection.
Because that does happen too. I mean, I was a teenager. And everybody that's older than 19 was, and so, when you do those things on purpose, but that's not what this is about.
No. I go back to the great example, the rebel, the rogue that was mm-hmm. Jesus.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Jesus came in and told people a new idea, a new mm-hmm. paradigm, gave them a new idea, right. a new look at themselves. And mm-hmm. some people were ticked off. Mm-hmm. Pharisees and Sadducees exist today, and they're going to be the people that are uncomfortable with the new paradigm. That's okay.
And you're reminding me, Rev, as you're talking about that part of their fear is loss of control.
You
think about the Pharisees, right? That's what made me think of it. They're like, oh wow, we're going to lose control because of this. So, but you could look at that from a smaller perspective. Maybe you as a person feel like, oh, I'm going to lose control of things in my life because of this thought that my son has, or my mom has, or whomever it is, my friend has.
Sure.
That was the fear you brought to your parents when you mm-hmm. were a teenager, making decisions to change the paradigm and to become more of you. They were afraid. I'm losing mm-hmm. control of the coach here. And mm-hmm. because you didn't submit to their fear, they also grew. You changed your family paradigm by being more of you.
Mm, wow.
Oh, some great nuggets today, gang. Some great nuggets. And, it's figure outable. To whatever extent, apply some things that make those decisions when you do figure it out better, right? Make them better.
And let's elevate it together. Everything. Let's do this together. Absolutely. The three of us are trying to figure a podcast out.
Yeah.
Come on into the room. Come through the threshold into the Rogue Nation and figure it out with us.
That's right.
Offer your ideas.
Sure. So here's what we're going to charge you with, all right? Your ongoing mission. Should you choose to accept it? Well, we've heard that before, right? A, decide to go rogue. Think differently. Just start there.
Make the decision right now.
There it is.
Not tomorrow. Right now.
Find you some of your tribe of five barbarians that are just like you. You do it together. We've already talked to that.
They're right? Probably in your life right now, and you don't realize they are who they are.
Right. Exactly.
Those questions will help. I hope we can put those questions on the
website. We can
do
that. We'll post them out there with the episode.
Sure. Okay. Three, strap on the armor. And this is what we were talking about, that you're going to take some tomatoes. All right. So you just have to be prepared. And what I mean by armor, right, is you got to get your countenance right. You got to get a piece about yourself that isn't going to get flustered by all this other kind of stuff. It's going to have to be resilient.
Get yourself free of the good or bad opinion of others.
Yeah.
Be you.
Let it bounce off. Then here's a challenge. You got to storm the gates. And again, what I mean by that is you can't be intimidated by going across the threshold. You need to storm it. You need to just, I mean, with a battle cry that you're committed, that you're moving forward in the direction, because ultimately, what's your objective? You want to free the captives. And what we mean by that is you want to help people free themselves of their stinking thinking, of their old way of looking at stuff, of their settling for
free
lifestyle.
Your mind.
Yes.
Free your mind.
Free there your mind from the prison of the herd.
There it is. That's even better. There's a meme. I like that too. All right, gang. So that's what we're imparting. Hopefully it's of value. We've enjoyed this conversation today. It's been great, guys. Thanks. Thanks, both of you.
Thank you.
So cool. All right. And again, we hope this brought value to you. We appreciate you listening, and we will catch you all on the flip side. Thanks.
Wow. You made it and can now unbuckle. Thanks for listening to Figure Outable, where we suggested ways to make better decisions and develop a course correction process that raises your level of consciousness and depth of wisdom. Remember to visit the website at www.gorogue.life for lots of follow-up information, see the show notes for any links to episode content, and join us in the ongoing cafe conversation where every week we post some thought-provoking questions for your own roguish conversations. Oh, and of course, tell everyone you know about us, like, follow, and engage. Be sure to tune in next week when Mac unleashes another unthinkable conversation. That is, if you dare.